In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast in Little Stevens Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Tyler A.C., lead vocalist and rhythm guitar player in the Philadelphia-based band The Tisberries. Their latest album is Exile on Main Street, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, When Love Knocks You Down. We'll take a listen to a portion of that now, and afterwards I'll have Tyler on the line for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Manfred here with you for our Coolest Conversations, and today my guest is Tyler A.C., vocalist and rhythm guitar player in the Philadelphia-based band The Tisberries. Their tune When Love Knocks You Down is our coolest song of the world this week. It's off their latest album, Exile on Main Street. Hi, Tyler. How are you?
I'm great, Manfred. Thanks so much for talking to me today. Happy to be here.
Well, happy that you're joining. And yeah, so we're kind of comrades in a sense, not just rockers and rollers, but also of retail, be down in the retail trenches, because I saw this thing that you were working, or maybe you still work at this record store, Main Street Music in Philadelphia. Do you still work there, the record store?
Yes, I help out on weekends, mostly now, and then whenever they need an extra hand, I'll come in. But best record store in the world, Main Street Music, right in Manion, Philadelphia.
Well, I know your store is tied for best to my old store, Wuck Street Records, there in Athens, Georgia, and in Atlanta. So I worked in the trenches there for many years. And the funny thing is, when I would come back and visit, and I'd walk in, and I walk in, and like somebody's got to go to the bathroom, whatever, I'll stand up at the counter, and people will walk in and still think of me as the guy that always works there. You know, the intervening 15 years or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't seem to even strike them as unusual. They're like, oh, yeah, is that dude there. Yeah, ring me out or whatever. And so you guys buy and sell used stuff primarily, or do you carry like new product in there?
We do both. We buy like all new releases, like bring in new releases of like bands we're excited about, and then we also buy used records and sell them. So
you're the new album, Exile on Main Street, is that on vinyl?
Not yet. I'd love for it to one day be on vinyl. Right now it's just on CD and digital.
I was looking you up online, and I was saying something that you were like from Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. Is that where you grew up?
Yeah, which it's a suburb of Scranton, Pennsylvania. So northeast, yeah.
And how long have you actually been in Philadelphia?
Since 2016, after college, I moved to Philly.
Oh, all right. Is guitar your first instrument?
Actually, piano was. I took piano lessons when I was around second grade to maybe like 8 years old. And switched over to guitar around 14 when I didn't want to play classical music anymore and wanted to learn Beatles songs. So I've been playing guitar for way longer, but still play piano here and there.
So your parents had you play piano. Was that something that you were resistant to at first, or is your family kind of musical?
Yeah, my dad Scott, he all growing up, he played acoustic guitar at family parties and coffee shops and bars around town, and would do a lot of Jimmy Buffett covers, and when I started learning guitar, when I told my dad, he like taught me all basic chord shapes and like just how to get it together with playing guitar. And so I owe that to him. A big deal for how I started learning how to play music, which is really cool.
So you started picking up guitar around the age of 14. When did you form your first band?
I remember it was like later in high school, we started playing together with a little group. It was like early stages of what came to Tisbury's. John Domenico, who plays lead guitar in the band, I've known him since we were in second grade. So I actually met him playing. We had the same piano teacher, basically. And we started playing together in high school in a more like rock band sense. And he's still one of the greatest guitar. He could play Stairway to Heaven when we were 12. I could not believe how good he was. And we've been playing together ever since, which is amazing.
Well, my understanding is that the Tisbury's, it's like a family name of a friend of yours. And initially it was like a placement holder name.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So when we first started out, we were going by the Tisbury's, which was like a joke on like kind of a pun on our John's friend's name. And we just needed a name and we picked that really quick and we never changed it. I thought about changing it many times, but we just kept rolling with it and we kept playing shows. And eventually I just couldn't change it, but honestly it sticks out and it kind of has that family feeling, that communal aspect to it, like Traveling Wilburys or something like that.
Well, what are the real Tisbury's like?
Oh, I don't know. It's like a cousin of an ex-girlfriend, or I forget, but we just like the name.
And then they're familiar with the fact that you guys use their surname, right?
I actually don't think so. But it's not like actually Tisbury. It's like a sounds like Tisbury. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
All right.
But
well, you know what? So you mentioned the Traveling Wilburys. So that's another like a record store thing I used to have to deal with, was the guy coming in and insisting me to order Traveling Wilburys Volume 2, and me trying to explain, no, that's
doesn't exist.
There's no Volume 2. It's just, that's just a joke.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, you making fun of me? It's like, yeah. No, you know, have you ever had to deal with that?
Not that specific instance, but that is really funny. That there's other things like we always joke about, like people coming in and asking for like Bruce Cockburn on CD, and it's like his name's Covert, like things like that, just like people mispronouncing names. And
well, that's it, you asshole record store guys, you know, telling me how to pronounce an artist.
Yeah, well, we don't like have to, we don't explain it, we kind of just like go in the back and like giggle about it, but that's pretty much it. We try to be nice at mainstream music.
Oh, it's well, you know, retail is a hard thing, you know. I don't think people realize that there's you know, there's a movie Idiocracy, which describes a lot of things, but then working in a record store is like dealing with it firsthand, you know?
Yeah.
Well, your first album is 2019's Wax Nostalgic. You mentioned you and John being, you know, knowing each other for many, many years. When did the Tisbury's actually first form?
So me and John have been playing together since high school around 2012. We didn't, we all kind of went our separate ways for college. And then after college ended, 2015, 16 is kind of when we started playing together. I had just moved to the city and John had just came back from Colorado. So that's when we started taking things a little more seriously. We were able to play more often and didn't have things like going to class to deal with. And we were able to travel a little more and like record and put out records. So, our first EP came out in 2017, and then Wax Nostalgic was 2019.
And then in 2020, that's when the second album, Sun Goes Down, comes out. Is that right?
Yes, right after the pandemic hit. I think it was the fall of 2020. So I was writing a ton around that time. So we Wax Nostalgic and Sun Goes Down kind of came out back to back. And then I had most of Exile on Main Street written starting by the time Sun Goes Down was ready to come out. I had most of it written, but we decided to take a little more time and put a little more effort into the recording of that, of this most recent record.
So I was reading that, I'm not sure which one of the releases, was it Sun Goes Down or the debut that got some play on NPR or got some notoriety from NPR?
Yeah, yeah. We have a really good relationship with WXPN, which is the NPR affiliate radio station here in Philadelphia. And we played the Exponential Music Fest this past fall, September, the day the album came out, actually. And which was really cool. Warren Druss played and Jenny Lewis played, so many like bands that we love. And then we like NPR Tiny, we did a Tiny Desk contest submission a couple of years ago that NPR covered, which was cool. It didn't win, but it was in the showcase or whatever. But
still, that's cool.
Yeah, that's, very cool.
Yeah. So the new album Exile on Main Street came out this past fall. And now it's on Sacophones Records, and that is your label, right?
That is our personal imprint, yes. I created Sacophones was the name of our first demo tape that we put out in like 2015. It's like not a, I don't consider it an official release, but I created that as like our songwriting, ASCAP thing. And so that's what I put
the
music
publishing
out on.
Company.
Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
I put out the music under Sacophones, and we basically are self-releasing all our music.
And you know what? I just now you repeating a couple of times, I just thought, oh, Sacophone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. That is the
yes.
joke.
That's very good.
Yep.
Very good. So you, the new album, you know, I've got to ask you about why the title, because that's obviously a thing there. I mean, I'll take the bait.
Yeah.
Why Exile on Main Street?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. And the first one is I love The Replacements. They are maybe my favorite band, top five, definitely. And this was our third album. And The Replacements' third album is Let It Be, and they ripped off the Beatles. So I was like, wouldn't it be funny if we named our third album Exile on Main Street? And when I was doing a lot of the writing of the album, it was kind of about like this American idea of like the main street and like the community. And like, you can walk down the street and like recognize so many people that you know. And that kind of exists like in every town in the US has a main street, correct? So it's kind of that communal idea, like, and traveling and going from place to place and, feeling like you're a part of something. And then the third idea was Main Street Music. The record store I work at is on Main Street in Manayunk. And that kind of came down to that. And I just thought it was funny, ultimately, to rip off the Rolling Stones.
Well, you know, rip off or be inspired by.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah. There could be a fine line.
Yeah,
what's a fine line?
What's the line? Good artists borrow, great artists steal. Is that a thing people say, right?
That, well, it is now.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I don't know.
you mentioned writing a lot of the material during the pandemic. When and where did you record the album?
So this last album we recorded with our drummer Dan's older brother, Justin. He has a really nice home studio in the suburbs of Philly called Sound Splitter. So we did like 80% of the basic tracking at his home studio, and then we added like the horns and like piano, all the couple other stuff at a studio called Retro City in Germantown, which is right near Philly. And then our friend Matt Muir mixed the record, so he kind of brought it up like to this whole another level of just like kind of big sounding, which is what I was looking for, kind of a stadium rock vibe.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned those two guys, Justin and Matt, because I've got them listed in the liner notes I was getting. So they were the producers. So that they did produce the album in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. They kind of two-handed it with Justin dealing with the nitty-gritty and Maddie dealing in the full kind of concept vibe of the mixing.
So are you the group's primary songwriter?
Yes. I mean, we've gotten more collaborative as time has gone on. I usually bounce ideas off John because I've been playing with him so long.
Right.
And then Jason, who plays keys, added a lot of songwriting ideas, musical ideas to this most recent album. And then John actually did write one song on the album, and he sings it too. It's called Paulette.
Oh, right. Well, I'm going to ask you about Paulette in a moment, but first I wanted to focus on our coolest song in the world this week, When Love Knocks You Down.
Yeah.
How recent has love given you a knockdown punch?
Oh, actually not recently. I'm getting married in May. My fiance,
Kathleen. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. My fiance, Kathleen, yeah. And I tying the knot. But, it was more, that song is just like about being there for someone when they're going through a tough time. And and it's just like being, holding each other up, which I think is, there's a whole part of this album that has to deal with that as well.
Well, I really love that lyric. I think this is in the chorus. So if you're locked in the silence of an ocean of violence, what's the rest of the phrase?
When those tears you were crying came to town, I'll pick you up when love knocks you down.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you so much.
Especially that locked in the silence of an ocean of violence. Woof, that's good.
Thank you.
So another cool tune, you just mentioned it. The one, I think, did you say John was responsible for Paulette?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Well, how's Paulette doing?
I don't think she's with us anymore. John used to work at an old folks home, and it was a love song he wrote to one of the women he worked with there. And, he showed me that song and I was like, John, this is amazing. We have to record this song. And, it was kind of a tribute to her.
Yeah. Very cool too.
She used to give him French lessons. He used to, that's the French vocabulary line.
All right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Right. So when I listen to your song, when a switch flips, I'm thinking of a good sized toggle switch, you know, that makes a very satisfying click or clunk when you push it or you throw it.
Yeah.
What sort of switch are you envisioning when a switch flips?
I was picturing actually more of a light switch, because it was more of like the thing in your brain that like when you sometimes switches on of like your anxiety kind of go crazy and just like kind of panic attack is setting in and you got to kind of learn how to toggle that on and off and like and just not like be able to deal with things when things are not going right, you know?
Well, I saw online that you're playing a festival in May called Sing Us Home. And now that's happening in the Philadelphia area.
Yes, it's actually happening right in Manayunk, which is the neighborhood I live in. So we keep joking it's Exile parallel to Main Street because it's right off Main Street in Manayunk is this huge festival that our friend Dave Hawes is throwing. It's the inaugural year for the festival. So it's the first time this is happening.
Okay. And the Drive-By Truckers are part of their headlining.
Drive-By Truckers, Kathleen Edwards, Craig Finn from the Hold Steady. It's like a whole, going to be a huge deal.
Very cool. What other gigs do you have coming up?
So we're actually, we're playing February 16th in Philly at Kung Fu Necktie, where we'll be supporting Franz Nikolai of the Hold Steady. So we're going to be running into these Hold Steady guys a couple times in the next couple months. And then we're actually doing a short tour at the end of March, where we're doing DC, Baltimore, Asbury Park, New Haven, Boston, Brooklyn, and then bringing it all back home to Philly. We're playing at Johnny Brenda's Sunday, March 26th. So you can find all those show dates on our website and on our Bandcamp and all of that. So
where do you play in New Haven? Do you play at Cafe 9?
We're actually playing at the State House in New Haven. A buddy of mine books that place. So we're super excited for that.
Very cool. Well, the track I want us to go out on is La Mancha, yeah, off of Exile on Main Street. So Don Quixote was set in La Mancha, or he was supposed to be from there. Have you ever read Don Quixote?
I think I was assigned it in a like an honors English class in high school. And I think probably skimmed it, but I like know the plot points and I understand the cultural importance of it. And that song was just like, I was trying to imagine a present day Don Quixote who was just like addicted to social media and like wasn't living in the real world because they were, they're fan, like the whole Don Quixote fallacy is that he lives in fantasy land, right? So that's kind of where that song came from.
Well, that's very cool. You know, when I guess it was like 2 years ago, I've just wanted to read it, right? And I was so disappointed that the whole windmill thing is like in the first couple of chapters. I mean, it's like, wait, I thought this, you know, there was no apex there. The windmill comes pretty fast in that. And then I was over three quarters, and, you know, it's quite a sizable tomb.
Yeah.
And I left it in the back seat of a pocket of an airplane.
Oh no. So
I never finished it. It's like, oh man, so close.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler, thanks again for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Manfred. I had such a blast talking with you. I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to take a listen now to La Mancha off the Tisbury's latest album, Exile on Main Street, here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Some of La Mancha. That was the Tisbury's here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage off their latest album, Exile on Main Street. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Tyler AC for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. The Weaklings from Asbury Park, New Jersey, are a favorite of ours here in the Underground Garage. Their latest single is a cover of the Beatles song, I've Just Seen a Face. And joining us next time around to talk all about it is Lefty Weakling, better known as Glenn Burtnick. He's my guest for your next Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy.
Make a big noise playing in the street.
I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.